Hello, folks. Welcome back to the Paul Revere Show. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. I'm here with Sachin Chetta. We are here talking about the fact that the New York Times, well, it's not the fact, the New York Times reported the fact that the Wisconsin Supreme Court approved Republican-drawn state legislative maps, changing their mind 30 days after they had previously adopted Governor Evers' maps. Sachin Chetta is the director of the State Fair Elections Project. We're delighted to have him back. And Sachin, what I'd like to talk about this second half, and if you would turn on your mic, is this new decision and its implications. Now, the first thing the court said back in November of 21 was the first decision where they talked about how they were going to make the maps. They talked about least change. Can you tell the folks, what does that mean, least change?
Yeah, so there's been a whole bunch of different court cases in both state and federal court. And, you know, when we went through the census again in 2020, we then in 2021 began the process of redrawing the maps. But what the Republicans knew and were kind of counting on is that because there was now a Democratic governor and a Republican legislature, they weren't going to be able to agree on a map. And so they kind of wanted to go to the court and give them a path to their conservative allies on the court, on the state Supreme Court, to rigging the maps for another 10 years. And so they came up with this made up idea called least changes, which is something that had never come up before in redistricting, but they kind of just made it up. And they said, well, if we're going to draw a map in the court, it has to deviate from the previous map as little as possible. And the state Supreme Court then decided that was going to be a principle that they were going to use in the drawing of this year's maps. And so once they did that, it was kind of locked in that the map was going to be some measure of unfair. And it really just then became a question of how unfair the maps for the next 10 years were going to be.
Okay, now this is where I want to emphasize and remind folks that the maps that the court, my court, said there was going to make the least changes to was a map or maps that conservative Republican federal judges had already determined were so unfair as to be unconstitutional.
That's exactly right. They wanted to keep in place maps that were as close as possible to the previous gerrymander. This, the decision was entirely designed to have the result that they're eventually, that, you know, as we watch this process play out, that they eventually got to, which was to keep these maps rigged for another 10 years. And even when we got to the place where there was a step in this process where they quote unquote picked the Evers maps, but let's be clear, even those maps drawn by Governor Evers late in this process, those were rigged for the Republicans. They were not fair maps. They were not Democratic maps. They were maps that slightly reduced the amount of the gerrymander because the governor just did a better job of finding a path in this least changes framework. But that decision didn't even stick because, once they saw they weren't going to get the worst rigged maps ever, they ran to their allies on the U.S. Supreme Court, and they got a totally unprecedented decision to change these maps yet again late in the process.
People forget, and it's so easy when, you know, we get our news quickly, briefly, that, and you just hear that, you know, this is, they've rejected the governor's maps, and now they pick the legislative maps. And everybody, every once in a while, you have to go back to zero and see where you're come from. And because to me, and we have to talk about Governor Evers' maps a little bit here. Governor Evers and his maps that had been adopted by the Supreme Court on March 3rd of 2020 had seven minority majority districts, right?
Yeah, the Wisconsin Supreme Court, and just to be clear, March 3rd of 2022, so last month, not 2 years ago. And that's right.
I meant 2020.
That's all right. Yeah. Yeah. And they did have seven districts that were black majority districts in Milwaukee. And the reason they had seven is before in the old maps, there were six, and the black population of Milwaukee went up and the white population of Milwaukee went down. And so the math told us that the Voting Rights Act was likely to require a seventh black majority district in the city of Milwaukee. And so the governor included that district.
And, you know, to me, I look at this from the perspective, if you look at the Constitution of the United States, right, the preamble, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union. I mean, that's sort of what drives me in terms of my motives as a lawyer, as a member of the Elections Commission. How do we get better together? How do we form a more perfect union? And I thought this attempt by Governor Evers to recognize an expanding minority base in the city and adding an additional seventh district, because I mean, we have what, 99, right?
That's right.
We have 99 districts statewide. And so we go from five that are majority minority to seven, which is still a tiny percentage of the 99. I thought that was a good attempt to form a more perfect union. So yeah. What happened?
I hear you.
Right. So what happens now on April 15th, 2022? Let's go ahead.
Yeah. So basically, look, when Tony Evers outflanked the Republicans, and again, he drew a GOP gerrymander, a map that would guarantee a permanent and lasting majority for the Republicans, but just a smaller permanent and lasting majority, not a huge, you know, a less big permanent and lasting majority. And so the Republicans, Robin Voss and Devin LeMahieu and their allies went to the U.S. Supreme Court and said, well, you guys got to do something about this. And the U.S. Supreme Court said, well, even though it's late in the process, and even though, you know, there's Voting Rights Act problems in other states where not enough people are being represented, we've told the other states that they can't deal with these things so late in the electoral cycle, because we were just about to start collecting signatures to get on the ballot. And even a couple of months earlier, they told Alabama, hey, it's too late in the year for you to be redrawing the maps. They came back to the Wisconsin Supreme Court and they said, you got to redraw this map, and you have to either show your work to show why that seventh Voting Rights Act district was required, or you have to pick a different map. And I think at that point, you have this Justice Brian Hagedorn, who, you know, occasionally has shown himself to be less corrupt than the other three right-wing justices on the Supreme Court, and looking for ways to follow the law in a less partisan way. He kind of just threw his hands up and said, well, we tried to go with a map that was a little less rigged, but the U.S. Supreme Court slapped us down. I don't want more evidence. I don't want to put any more work into this. And we're just going to go with the next least changes map, which, by the way, is the most rigged map that maybe the country's ever seen, according to a couple analyses I saw today. And not only would they guarantee the Republicans a majority, but they're trying to guarantee the Republicans a supermajority. So even if Tony Evers is elected, they want to be sure that Republicans get so many seats that the Republicans can override any gubernatorial veto, and that they're able to do that without really winning a massive majority of the vote. They would just win a slight majority of the vote, and they would get to that two-thirds supermajority in both houses of the legislature. That's what they're trying for. And so that's what the Supreme Court, the state Supreme Court, put out on Friday. And so now for the 2022 election, we are almost assuredly going to have that map in place. Our opportunities to appeal this, while there's a lot of ways to fight these maps, all of those routes are likely to take longer than it would take to change the maps for 2022. And so while we have a lot of litigation possibilities to change these maps for 2024, this fall we're likely to have this election, very, very likely to have this election under extremely rigged maps. And it's going to be up to Democrats just to fight to try to hold on to not be giving up a supermajority, even if they win or a majority of the votes, or even just lose the vote by a little bit.
So the I also want to stress that the results are not just a potential supermajority, and I want to talk about that a little bit more in the context of what does that mean to the average person out there that doesn't really follow the nuances of this. But it's also now we've reduced the number of majority minority districts as well. We've gone from 6 to 5, or Governor Evers proposed 7 to 5. So we've created, by these new maps and by the court's decision on April 15th, the potential for a supermajority, and the attack, as I see it, on majority or minority majority districts. So, you know, this, it seems to me, if you recall, remember Governor Walker way back said divide and conquer. That was the way to seize control in our state. It seems to me that this is a divide and conquer proposed map as well. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think the reality is that right-wing activists who don't have the support of the American people or the people of Wisconsin, who can't win on ideas, are trying to rig our government system to gain power by any means that they can, and they're relentless about it. And I think this is all, to me, very connected to what happened on January 6th of last year, the year before last year, when there was a coup attempt at the U.S. Congress to try to overturn the results of a presidential election. This is tied directly to the fight to eliminate the access to the ballot for disabled people through absentee voting and the use of drop boxes, by insisting that husbands can't take their wives' ballots to the mailbox on their front porch. This is directly connected to the idea that we can't have you know, governments raise additional resources to try to get more of their own citizens to vote. Every single one of these things is designed for minority rule. It's designed for undercutting democracy itself and allowing powerful interests on the right side of our political spectrum gain power without earning the votes of the American people or the people of Wisconsin. It's all part of a piece. And they've been very successful at it here in Wisconsin. They've been successful at it in other states, but arguably they've been more successful here than anywhere else. And they've changed the very nature of our political culture and our government. We went from having an extremely well-funded, progressive system.
Sachin, I want you to save that, okay? Because we're gonna be right back after the break to talk about where to find hope. Thank you all. Great. We'll be right back.